السلام عليكم ورحمة الله شيخ سالم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
كيف حالك شيخ؟
الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الحمد لله شيخ. ready when you are إن شاء الله.
إلي الحمد لله.
Okay, let's begin إن شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. وبعد، brothers and sisters، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، and welcome to our weekly درس. This is lesson number 50 of Virtues of Islam, delivered by Honorable Sheikh Sheikh Salim Al Amri. I will pass the mic on the screen to the Sheikh. Sheikh can begin إن شاء الله. فليتفضل مشكورا شيخنا الشيخ سالم Al Amri.
بارك الله فيك، جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، أشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, فضائل الإسلام, Virtues of Islam. And we are talking about the points that Muslims should agree upon. And among them is the Tawheed. Without Tawheed, the Muslim Ummah will not be united, will not be strong, will not be victorious, and will not have the upper hand over their enemies. So the Tawheed is the secret. It is the source of the strength of this ummah, is the Tawheed, which is the core of the deen. Because for the Tawheed, we exist. Allah created everything for the Tawheed, to single him out and to worship him alone. So this is, we should be always, always talking about the Tawheed. Our life has to be revolving around this concept, the oneness of Allah, the Tawheed. We have to liberate ourselves from all the bonds and shackles of shirk. We have to liberate and free our hearts from any trace of shirk. Our hearts have to link, have to be linked and attached only to the Creator. Turned only to their Creator. Seek help only from their Creator. Depend and rely solely on their Creator. That is the concept of Tawheed. If the heart turns to other than Allah, that is shirk. Whether it is major, minor, or hidden. the showing of riya, which is a function of the heart, is a part form of shirk, form of shirk, which means the heart has turned towards other than Allah. That's why you do things for the sake of showing off, to be praised by others, not to be praised by Allah Azza wa Jalla. So many of us think shirk is has a limited form, which is permissive. No, the shirk has many, many forms and many shapes and shades. So it is this one, the heart. This heart turns to whom, relies on whom, fears whom. That is the tawheed. And no wonder, no wonder our Lord singled out the heart. He said, this is the organ from the rest, among the rest of the organs in the body. I am constantly looking at it. I don't look at your complexions or physique, but I look at your hearts and your actions. What does that heart harbor and hold? So, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to work hardly on our hearts and purify them. Because when this heart is filled with the love of Allah and the trust in Allah, then and only then you feel the tranquility and the serenity and the peace of mind. So nothing disturbs this king because it relies on the most powerful one. It relies on the salam, the source of peace. And because of salam, he is the one who puts peace in your heart. So Allah always is watching our hearts, and he is after our hearts. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ قَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The day neither wealth nor children will avail anyone, will be of great help to anyone, except the one, that the one who will be delivered, the one who will be successful, is the one who meets his Lord بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, whole heart, healthy heart, heart free from any trace of shirk, polytheism, association of others with Allah. That is the one who's going to be successful on that day. Now let us go through some of the verses, the ayat in the book of Allah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly reminding us about the importance of the tawheed and the evil and dreadful consequences of shirk. May Allah save us from all forms of shirk. Ameen. Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 116, إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء ومن يشرك بالله فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. إن النساء آية 48 فقد افترى إثما عظيما. 116 فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. Surely Allah does not forgive associating others with him in worship, but forgives anything else of whoever he wills. Indeed, whoever associates others with Allah has clearly gone far astray. Far astray from the monotheistic creed, from the state path. So that's why. But shirk is something horrible. That's why Allah said, this sin, I will never forgive. I will forgive anything else, but not the shirk, not associating partners with me. The whole Quran, from Alif Lam Mim up to Surah An-Nas, talks about the Tawheed. And the prerequisite of the Tawheed. And the reward of those who actualize Tawheed in their life. And the evil consequences for those who associate partners with Allah. And the reward and the punishment that awaits those who associate partners with Allah. So the whole Quran talks about that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 72, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ قال المسيح يا بني إسرائيل اعبدوا الله ربي وربكم إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار. لا إله إلا الله. Those who say Allah is the Messiah, son of Mary, have certainly fallen into disbelief. The Messiah himself said, O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Whoever associates others with Allah in worship will surely be forbidden paradise by Allah. Their home will be the fire, and the wrongdoers will have no helpers. Let us ponder upon this beautiful ayah. So this ayah teaches your belief as a Muslim and your stance from the Christians. What do we believe? And what we consider the Christians. Do we consider them believers or disbelievers? The answer is very clear in this ayah. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا. Allah says, clearly, explicitly, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ. Those who say the Messiah, Ibn Maryam, المسيح ابن مريم, the Messiah, son of Mary. He is Allah. They have blasphemed. That's what the Christians are saying. God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's why no one insulted Allah like the Christians. So they are saying Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, the one who was in the womb of Mary 9 months, that was God. The one who was circumcised on the seventh day, as the Bible says, that is God. Because to them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, these three, the Holy Trinity, are one. The Father is God, Son is God, Holy Ghost is God. They are all one. So Jesus Christ, that according to the belief of the Christians, is God in the form of a human being. They say the divine indwelt in the human. This is God incarnation. God incarnate, which is the belief in other religious systems prior to Christianity. And when you read the history, the one who concocted and invented and came up with this doctrine for the Christians is Paul. Or Saul, S-O-U-L, the agent of the Romans, the tax collector, the enemy of the disciples of Isa, alayhi salam. He is the real one who corrupted Christianity. He is the one who invented this doctrine of God incarnate. In Arabic, they say, Allahut halla finnasut, the divine indwelt in the human being. So it is, you see him as a human being, but he is God, which is God incarnate, who came with this idea, invented it, Paul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ الْمَرْيَمُ. So whoever holds this belief, that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, is God himself in the form of the human being, God incarnate, he has disbelieved and he is a kafir. This is what the Quran says. It's clearly, very clear. No ambiguity at all. And yet, you find some ignorant Muslims thinking or saying, oh, why not? They can go to heaven. They are people of the book. Or if you say that they are disbelievers, they say, oh, why you are going? You are an extremist. Extremist. Extremist? Why? These are not my words. This is what Allah said, that they have disbelieved. Or you haven't read the Quran, or you don't believe in it. Say it. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. So those who say Allah is the Messiah, son of Mary, have certainly fallen into the kufr. They have disbelieved. Then Allah tells us what was the real message of Christ. By the way, for your own benefit and for your own information, the bulk of Christendom, the bulk of the Christian world, they did not know the true message of Christ. They didn't know it. The message that reached Europe was not the message of Christ, was the message of Paul. The message reached them already distorted. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity that was reached them, they never knew about the unity. Because those who believed in the unity, in the oneness of Allah, and considered Christ as one of the mightiest messengers of God, they were persecuted, they were killed. So Allah tells us exactly the essence of the message of Isa alayhi salam. وقال المسيح يا بني إسرائيل اعبدوا الله ربي وربكم. This is what Jesus Christ, Isa alayhi salam, preached. And this is what he taught. Ya bani Israel, all children of Israel. Because as you know, he was sent to Bani Israel, Isa alayhi salam. As the Bible tells us, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Yaqub, Israel, Israel is Yaqub alayhi salam, Jacob. وقال المسيح يا بني إسرائيل اعبدوا الله ربي وربكم. O children of Israel, worship Allah. Not worship me, worship Allah. My Lord and your Lord. And even the Bible, you know, when a lady came and said, oh, good master, he said, why you call me good? There's only one who's good, my father. The Father in heaven. And by the way, the word Father, if you read in the context and in the biblical context, it refers to the divine being. Divine being. Only. That's why you, in many places, my Father and your Father, my Rab and your Rab, your Creator, my Creator. And the same thing if you read in the Bible, Son of God means a pious and righteous person. So there were many characters and many personalities in the Bible, they were called Son of God. Okay, which means one who is pious and righteous, God-fearing person. Doesn't mean that this person is God himself, no. So Isa alayhi salam here, he said, oh, children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord, my Rab and your Rab. Then he warned them. He warned his followers. He warned Bani Israel. Innahu man yushrik billah. Okay. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ Whoever associates any partner with Allah. And what the Christians are saying, that he is God, that's the pinnacle of shirk. So they are mushriks. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ Whoever associates any partner with Allah, Allah has made paradise prohibited for him or her. He or her will not smell its fragrance. قَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. This is what will happen to you Christians if you don't put immediately this erroneous belief, believing that Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus Christ, Son of Mary, is God Himself. No paradise, no Jannah, no heaven, hellfire forever. فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. This is what Isa said. This is what Christ said. عليه السلام. قَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. So paradise is made prohibited for him, forbidden for him. He will be forbidden from entering paradise. And he will go somewhere else. The hellfire. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. So the place that is going to accommodate him, the place of his accommodation, his abode, his resting place will be the fire. The fire. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. And for the ظَالِمِينَ, the wrongdoers, the mushrikeen, the polytheists, because dhulm in the Quran also used as a synonymously for shirk. Because Luqman said when he was exhorting and advising his son, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azeem. So Luqman told when he was advising his son, Ya Bunayi, oh my son, la tushrik billah, never associate anyone with Allah. Inna shirka, most certainly, verily, unquestionably, shirk, the dhulm azeem, great injustice, great dhulm. It is the greatest dhulm one can ever commit. Also Allah says in Surah Al-Kahf, I want you, my dear brothers and sisters, when you are reading the Quran, ponder, reflect, see the impact of the ayat, the impact they make on your heart. All the Quran tawheed. Allah says in Surah Al-Kahf, which every Muslim reads every Friday, in Ayah 110, قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. Say, O prophet, I am only a man like you, but it has been revealed to me that your God is only one God. So whoever hopes for the meeting with their Lord, let them do good deeds and associate none in the worship of their Lord. Let us reflect. Qul, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إنما. Remember, كافة مكفوفة. which denotes that the meaning is limited to whatever is going to be mentioned. إنما الأعمال بالنيات, it limits all actions to the intention. All of them are linked with the niyyah. No action without niyyah, it will not be accepted. So this, always pay attention when you come across innama, because the rhetorical purpose of it, okay, تفيد الحصر. Innama تفيد الحصر. It denotes confinement, limiting the meaning, and making the meaning solely applicable only to what is mentioned, or applied to what is mentioned only. قل say إنما, okay, أنا بشر مثلكم. So this to tell us about the nature of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he's a human being. إنما أنا بشر مثلكم. This should stop us Muslims from exaggerating or venerate or praise, overpraise the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and elevate him above his real status, the status of prophethood, the of prophets and messengers. So it warns us that we should not do something like the Christians did with Isa alayhi salam, because of their extreme love for Christ, the Christians, they elevated him above what he deserved. So they attributed to him and ascribed to him divinity. Divinity. Our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he warned us in the Hadith. Said, لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم إنما أنا عبد وقول عبد الله ورسوله. So he's teaching his ummah, teaching us. لا تطروني, O Muslims, do not overpraise me and elevate me to such a position that I don't deserve. So do not do something like the Christian did. لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم. So do not overpraise me, okay, and ascribe and attribute to me what the Christian did to Christ. كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم. إنما أنا عبد. إنما أنا عبد. I'm only a servant of Allah. Keep this in mind. In another hadith, a man came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he was standing before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he is in state of fear. So I'm like, cool, cool, cool down. إنما أنا ابن امرأة كانت تأكل القديد بمكة. Okay, why are you shivering? Why are you afraid? I'm a human being like you. Cool down, be calm. إنما أنا ابن امرأة, I'm a son of a woman. كانت, who used to eat the dry meat in Mecca. So I'm a human being. But he's Rasulullah. See, this is how we balance. Yes, he's a human being. Yes, he is a servant of Allah. بطيج رسول الله. So we should not lower him and consider him like us and deal with him like one of us. No, he is رسول الله. So he is Abdullah. This stops us from غلو, going to extreme. He is Rasulullah also makes us elevate him and put him in the position and his status that he deserves. He is not like us, he's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قل, say, إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي. But I receive revelation. I receive revelation. I am inspired. يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد. Because you see, there are some Muslims they are going against this ayah. And they attribute to the Prophet attributes of Allah, divine attributes. And some of them, they made also names for the Prophet, like the names of Allah. Those are the Sufis. And they consider him that he is alive. Not Barzakh life, no, alive. He is like us. And he comes and he leaves his grave and he visits them. And so that's why you can ask him whatever you want. Yeah. There are many groups, they believe in this. And this is what the ayah tells us. Do not go to extreme. قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد. Except that I am a human being like you, but I receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this revelation tells me that your God, your Ilah, the deity you should worship, is one. Not two, not three. Ilahu wahid. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. So whoever hopes and prays to meet his Rabb, يَرْجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, he is aspiring, yearning, looking forward to meeting his Rabb. So whoever hopes to for the meeting with their Rabb, what should he do? فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. So he should, the one who hopes to meet Allah should do righteous deeds. At the same time, should not associate anyone. Associate none. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ. Associate none. بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Anyone. Anyone. Because ahada is nakira, undefined. Because you can put al-ahad to come defined. And wala yushrik, it prohibits you. La nahya. So this denotes generality. Anyone. You should not call anyone with Allah. The Prophet ﷺ, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa alayhi salam, Jibra'il, Mikael, anyone, no one. Ahada. You only ask Allah. Leave alone Abdul Qadir Jilani, and Al-Hasan, Al-Hussein, and Shafi'i, and all. You don't call anyone. ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. Your ibadah, your worship, only for Allah and Allah only. Also Allah said in Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 31, حنفاء لله غير مشركين به. ومن يشرك بالله فكأنما خر من السماء فتخطفه الطير تهوي به الريح في مكان سحيق. Be upright in devotion to Allah, in worshipping Allah. حُنَفَاء لِلَّهِ غَيْرَ مُشْرِكِينَ, associating none with them in worship. For whoever associates others with Allah is like someone who has fallen from the sky and is either snatched away by birds or swept by the wind to a remote place. La ilaha illallah. Hunafa lillah. This is what Allah wants us to be. Be hunafa. Be monotheists. Be upright in your ibadah, in your devotion to Allah. Direct all your acts of worship only to Allah, without any partners, without associating anyone with them, without associating anyone, associating none with them, none with them. But if you associate anyone with Allah, then Allah has given us this parable, this similitude, this example, that an example or parable or similitude for the one who associates any partner with Allah. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, whoever, for whoever associates others with Allah, his likeness, like one who has fallen from the sky. Imagine someone is falling from high altitude. فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Okay? So the one who associates any partner with Allah is like one who has been thrown from a high altitude, falling from the sky. And while he is falling, the birds of prey snatches his flesh, tearing his body and tearing his flesh into parts. This eagle comes and takes a bite. This vulture comes and takes a bite. This falcon comes and takes a bite. So the birds are snatching this body. فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ, is just like someone who has fallen from the sky. فَتَخْطَفُ الطَّيْرُ. So the birds snatch him away. Snatched away by birds. This is his likeness. This is an example for someone who associates any partner with Allah. أَوْ تَهْوِي بِهِ الرِّيحِ فِي مَكَانٍ سَحِيقٍ. Or he is swept by the wind. The wind blows and takes this fallen body to a remote place. okay, or very deep place. And that what will happen to him. He will fall into that deep pit of fire, the hellfire, Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, as you see, he wants us to be wahid, monotheist upon the tawheed. Also Allah said in Surah Al-Ghafir, ayah 12, describing to us the reaction of the mushriks when they are called to the Tawheed. Allah says, ذلكم بأنه إذا دعي الله وحده كفرتم وإن يشرك به تؤمنوا فالحكم لله العلي الكبير لا إله إلا الله. Allah says, this is because they will be rebuked on that day. This is because when Allah alone is invoked today, if you go to many Muslim countries who are worshipping saints, worshipping tombs, graves, and you call them to the Tawheed, and you tell them, stop going to the Dargah, stop going to the Mausoleum, stop making tawaf around the tombs and the graves, call Allah, they will go mad and crazy. And you are reading the Quran to them and they hate you and they want to kill you. You are a devil. You are Wahhabi. You hate the Prophet. You. Though what you are asking them to do is only to worship Allah and not the saint. But they don't want to worship Allah. They want to worship the saint. Yes, this is the reality. ذَلِكُمْ بِأَنَّهُ إِذَا دُعِيَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ. You are calling the people to the worship of Allah alone. كَفَرْتُمْ. That's because when Allah alone was invoked, you staunchly disbelieved. But when others were associated with him in worship, you readily believed so. When you shirk bihi tu'minu falhukmu lillahi al-ali al-kabir. So today, judgment belongs to Allah alone, the Most High, the All Great. This is the reality. This how the mushriks, this how those who are associating others with Allah, this is how they feel. You talk about the Tawheed, you irritate them. They become upset. They hate you. You read the ayat about the Tawheed to them, they hate that. But if you start telling them, you know, saying so and so, he did this, you can't ask him. So-and-so went to him and asked him, and he got what he wanted. So-and-so was not having children. She went to the tomb of the saint so-and-so, and she became pregnant. And you see broad smiles on their faces, happy, nodding their heads when they hear the shirk. But if the moment you start telling them, saints are helpless, saints cannot help you, saints, they need your dua, instead of asking them for dua, you should not go to their tombs, you should not build masjids on their graves, you see their faces are frowned. Go and check yourself. You'll find this. This is how they react. Because the Tawheed hits them. Because the hearts are full of shirk. So the impact of the ayat about the Tawheed shakes them. ذَلِكُمْ بِأَنَّهُ إِذَا دُعِيَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ كَفَرْتُمْ When you shirk be تُؤْمِنُوا But if there are partners, feel happy. فَالْحُكْمُ لِلَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْكَبِيرِ Wait. A day will come when all of us will stand before Allah. So today, the hukum, the judgment belongs to Allah alone. Al-Ali, Al-Kabir, the Most High, All Great, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Also Allah said in Surah Az-Zumar, that is Ghafir 12, Az-Zumar, again Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala tells us about the reaction of the mushriks, whether the mushriks at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the mushriks throughout history. Surah Az-Zumar, Ayah 45. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ دُونِهِ إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ Yet when Allah alone is mentioned, the hearts of those who disbelieve in the hereafter are filled with disgust. But as soon as those gods, false deities, other than him are mentioned, they are filled with joy. Subhanallah. 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 وَإِذَا ذُكَرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ You invite the people. Call them. Worship Allah alone. You are Wahhabi. You are kafir. You hate the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. First of all, why do you call me Wahhabi? I'm a Muslim. Number one. Second thing, there's nothing called Wahhabi. No one calls himself Wahhabi. So why do you call me Wahhabi? I'm a Muslim like you. I'm only asking you to worship Allah alone. Don't you say in your salah, Iyaka na'bud? That's what I'm inviting you to. Iyaka na'bud. I want you to actualize it, to put these words into practice. Iyaka na'bud. Because you say it with your tongue, but you don't practice it in your life. Because you don't worship Allah alone. You say, Iyaka na'bud, but you are not working, doing Iyaka na'bud. You don't worship Allah alone. Wa Iyaka nasta'een, you don't apply it in your life. You don't seek help only from Allah. You go and seek help from the dead. You go and seek help from Al-Hussein, from Abd al-Qadir Jilani, from the Suqi, from Shafi'i, rahimahumullah. So you do not practice what you read in your salah. And now you are calling me and giving me names? Because I ask you to worship Allah and to apply Iyaka na'bud and Iyaka nasta'een and implement it. And apply it in your life, put it into practice. Subhanallah. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ Yet when Allah alone is mentioned, اِشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ So those, the hearts of those who disbelieve in the hereafter. Of course, the mushriks at that time, no doubt. But also, cannot be confined and limited to only those. This is for anyone who commits shirk. اشمعزت قلوب الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة. Because if you believe in the Akhirah, this necessitates you worship the one who created the Akhirah in the first place. But you do not worship the one who created the Akhirah, who created the second life. So you don't believe in it. Though you think you believe in it, but you, in reality you don't, because you don't worship them. So that's why the life of the Akhirah or Jannah and living in blissful life and blessed life, you will not have it. Because to have it, you have to worship him alone. You didn't worship him alone. اشمعزت قلوب الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة. Then Allah said, وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ. Okay. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ. As soon as other deities that are worshipped besides Allah, إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. The moment you start talking about other than Allah, about the saints, about the karamat, about the miracles of this particular saint, you see the smile and you see that the joy, their hearts are filled with joy. The shirk, my dear brothers and sisters, is something dangerous, something horrible, something one has to constantly asking Allah to save them from falling into it. Imagine the father, Abu al-Anbiya, Ibrahim alayhi salam, is afraid of falling into shirk and worshipping the idols. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he fears that. How about us? So Allah says in Surah Ibrahim, ayah 35 to 36, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا رب اجعل هذا البلد آمنا واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام رب إنهن أضلن كثيرا من الناس فمن تبعني فإنه مني ومن عصاني فإنك غفور رحيم. Remember, وإذ, so when you come across إذ, it means recall, remember. وَإِذْ قَالَ, so remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed and invoked Allah, my Lord, make this city of Makkah secure and keep me and my children away from the worship of idols. My Lord, they have caused many people to go astray. So whoever follows me is with me. And whoever disobeys me, then surely you are still all forgiven, most merciful. This is what Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed. With Allah Ibrahim, so recall and remember when Ibrahim pray to Allah, cry to Allah. رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدِ. Oh my Lord, make this balad, this town, city of Makkah, آمِنًا, secure. Alhamdulillah, Allah responded to the dua of Ibrahim. So Makkah is a secure place. وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ Save me and my progeny, my children, and نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامَ. Save me, O Allah, and my children from the worship of idols. Keep me and my children away from the worship of idols. Keep us far away from paganism, polytheism, idolatry, etc. Then he said, telling us what the idols did, what these false deities did to the people. Rabbi innahunna adlalna kathira min al-nas. My Lord, they, the idols, false deities, false objects of worship, caused many people to go astray. And that's exactly what happened. The Arabs, they were descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And they were monotheists. But then they drifted away because of the idols. When Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuzai, he brought the first idol from Sham and placed it around the Kaaba. فَمَنْ تَبِعَانِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. So whoever follows my path, my way, then he's one of us. He's with me. He's a monotheist. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي. And whoever disobeys me and adopts any other path, فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Then surely you are still all forgiven and most merciful, and the matter is with you. And now let us go through some of the beautiful hadith of the Prophet. In the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, what I fear most for you is a form of shirk. When asked about it, he said, الرياء, showing off. نَخْوَ مَخَافَ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكُ الْخَفِيِّ. This hidden shirk I fear most for you. So they said, what is it, this hidden shirk? I said, showing off, arya. Everyone knows themselves. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, keep checking your heart all the time when you are doing any righteous deed. And ask yourself many times, am I doing it for the sake of Allah? Allah is watching me. Am I doing it for the sake of Allah? If not, rectify your intention, correct your intention. Because if it is not for the sake of Allah, it will be rejected. Allah will not accept it. Allah will not accept it. So if you are working in a da'wah organization, charity organization, whatever, you are involved in the da'wah and people, mashallah, you have thousands or million of fans, they call them fans. That will not help you. If your niyyah is not for the sake of Allah, all that is in vain, filthy rats. You will not find anything you are expecting to find these good deeds when you meet Allah, all these deeds vanished and not accepted. Why? Because it was not for the sake of Allah. It was not for the sake of Allah. So you were having shirk. You have showing off. You have riya. What preoccupies your mind is how to make the audience cheerful, happy. That's it. Allah is not there in your mind. Allah is not there in your mind. So, Allah will not accept anything from you. So be careful, my dear brothers and sisters. Everything you do, ask yourselves. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever dies من مات وهو يشرك بالله شيئا دخل النار. Whoever dies while ascribing partners to Allah enters the hellfire. This is a Bukhari. Because if I'm doing something and it's not for the sake of Allah, then I am making partners with Allah. Imam Muslim rahimahullah reported from Jabir radiallahu anhu that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever meets Allah on the day of judgment, not having associated anyone with him in worship, shall enter paradise. Man mata la yushrik billahi shay'a dakhala al-jannah. Woman mata yushrik billahi shay'a dakhala an-nar. Whoever meets Allah on the day of judgment, not having associating anyone with him, with Allah in worship, shall enter paradise. And whoever meets him, having committed shirk in any way, will enter the hellfire. So the shirk, my dear brothers and sisters, okay, should be always something we fear. Always we keep repeating the dua in our sujood, outside the sujood, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'an wa ana a'lam. Astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Always keep saying this dua, oh Allah save me from associating anything with you, knowingly or unknowingly. May Allah save us from all forms of shirk. Ameen. May Allah accept our deeds, and may Allah make all our deeds purely and solely and exclusively for Him and Him only. May Allah purify our hearts. May Allah fill our hearts with the sincerity, with the ikhlas. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us die upon the pure tawheed. May Allah make our word, and the word, the last word we utter is the kalima of the tawheed. Shahadat la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Allahumma ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deed till we meet Him and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. May Allah unite our ummah in the haq. May Allah guide all the Muslims to the tawheed and make them die upon the tawheed. May Allah unite our hearts in the haq. Allahumma ameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience أن نتعلم. بارك الله فيكم، جزاكم الله خيرا، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير الشيخ سالم. إن شاء الله brothers and sisters, we will start the question and answers time now. We have received some questions already, inshallah. We will begin with those. And if you'd like to ask verbally, please, as always, raise your hands and we'll take them, inshallah. We prefer you try to ask verbally. If not, then send us the message. Question one. If I did not meet the janazah prayers of the dead because I was praying the fard salah but met the burial rites, will I still receive the full reward as if I prayed the janazah with attending the burial due to the fact that I was offering fard salah in the masjid?
Okay, so this person, he was praying fard, so he didn't catch the janazah prayer. Inshallah, he will inshallah receive the ajr according to his niyyah. And he can do something else as well. He can follow the janazah, and the moment the body is lowered into the grave, he can perform the janazah prayer there in the graveyard. That is permissible as well. Next question.
The next question, Sheikh. During the Jumu'ah sermon, if the Imam mentions the name of the Prophet, are we to respond or we keep quiet since it is prohibited to talk during the sermon? Also, are we meant to say Ameen out loud when the Imam is concluding the sermon with dua before the Salah?
Regarding saying Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay, here, if you say it silently or very low, some of the ulama, they consider it as a dua, okay? So no harm, inshallah. Regarding the dua, what the imam is saying, making the dua for the ummah, and the people are saying, actually, if you read, in the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not making dua. In the hadith, he would conclude the khutbah and come down. So now this, what we see, the practice across the Muslim world, when you try to trace it and find the foundation for it from the sunnah, you will not find. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ occasionally, he made dua like for the rain when the person, the man came, the Bedouin came and asked the Prophet ﷺ to ask for rain, he raised his hand, or istisqa. But it was not the practice of the Prophet ﷺ throughout his life making this dua, which is all the khutbah on Friday they make. Okay, so if Imam is making the dua, I keep quiet. You keep quiet, inshallah. Next question, please.
The next question, Sheikh. Sheikh, I just had a fatwa regarding wiping over socks, both light and thick socks. I've been wiping over the socks whenever I am out of home and just realized that wiping over light socks is discouraged. How do I do with prayers I've done for over a decade? What do I do about that? Sometimes I did it over light socks.
You see, this opinion is weak opinion, irrespective of the scholar who mentioned it, irrespective. It's a weak opinion. The Sahaba, they used to wipe over the socks and they were full of holes. Not only transparent or nothing, holes in them. And they were wiping with them. So to stipulate and to say this, it should be this type of material or it should not be like this, we ask them, produce your evidence from Kitab and Sunnah. Nothing like that. Okay, so don't worry. Any socks, you can wipe over it. You can wipe over any socks, okay? Because there's nothing in the Sunnah says this type of sock, you cannot wipe over it. Anyone who claims that has to produce his evidence. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. We go to the next question. If a brother is in need of money, in which condition it is allowed for him to beg?
He was going to die, to have food. That's where begging is permissible. Okay, which is your life. You're going to lose your life. Because begging is indeed haram. And the one who begs, he will come on the day of resurrection with a skinny face, no piece of flesh on his face. So you don't stretch out your hand and beg. Go and work and earn for your living. Next.
The next question. Is doing Umrah for gaining money through Badal Umrah better than seeking money for doing Umrah? Jazakallah khair. He is doing Umrah for gaining money through by doing Umrah for others, i.e. Badal Umrah.
See to innamal a'malu binniyat. So if you are, your intention is only to make business and to earn money, that's what you'll get. Okay, so if you know a person who is just doing it for that search, so don't give him money, because maybe he will not also, I mean, perform the umrah correctly. Because just he wants to finish this umrah and have another customer, another one. Okay. Because if you are performing umrah on behalf of someone, you should have the ikhlas and the perfection and the try to make the umrah perfect, and you pray for the one that you are performing the umrah for him and all these things. So if it's just becoming a business, Allah musta'an, like many people, those reciters of the Quran, okay, every day they will read the newspaper. Oh, these are the names of the people who died. Okay, so they will go to the houses or the homes of the deceased, and they start reading Quran. In some Arab countries, they do that. Okay, business. Or on Eid day, you'll find them there in the graveyards, at the graves reading Quran. And you have to pay. Oh, this is not allowed in Islam. Allah musta'an. Next question, I think.
What is the ruling on kissing one's mother's feet?
It is permissible to kiss the feet of your mother if you kissed her feet. No problem. So it is permissible. Next question.
The next question, Sheikh. Is it permissible for me to avoid visiting people's homes that gossip, slander, backbite others in my presence, and avoid people who are known to do this completely?
If you are sure that this is what the atmosphere will be, don't visit them. Don't visit them, or you give them nasiha. Okay, if they are relatives. So when you come, you tell them, if you want me to stay, stop making riba. Otherwise, I will leave. So fear Allah. So you remind them. If they insist, then you leave them, or you just talk to them over the phone. May Allah guide all the Muslims. Ameen. Next.
Ameen. The next question, is it riya if you decide to perform all of your salah in congregation with aim of having many Muslims on janazah when passed on?
Would you mind repeating?
Is it riya if you decide to perform all of your salah in congregation with the aim of having many Muslims in janazah when you passed away?
So what is the relationship? So you are performing all your salawat in congregation. That means you attend jama'ah prayers all the time. So what is the riyah here? The sunnah, you pray it by yourself. You don't pray sunnah in groups. But the fard prayers, you pray jama'ah prayers. So if you are always in the, mashallah, in the masjid and praying the jama'ah with the people all the time, so you are known to the people in the masjid, inshallah, the day you die, the people will show up and pray and attend your janazah prayer. So that has nothing to do with the riya, to attend the, or to be always attending the jama'ah prayer in the masjid, because that is the duty every Muslim should do. Always pray the congregational prayers in the masajids, in the masjids. I hope this is clear to the questioner, because the question is a bit ambiguous. If it's not clear, then he or she can ask. Provide with more information. Provide me with more information, inshallah. Next.
Brother Ali Ibrahim, please ask your question verbally, inshallah. Next question. Is it necessary to keep something in front of the salah, as I've seen many people doing the same? And is our salah valid if 2 years old child stands in front of you while you're praying?
This is called sutra. You have an object in front of you, like this two spans. So if you are praying so that no one should pray, pass between you and this object. Okay. This is sutra. The Prophet ﷺ recommended it highly. And always he used to pray towards the sutra. And he should not allow anyone. But anyway, if a child passes 2 years, that will not break your prayer. What will break your salah is the, as mentioned, the hadith. A woman here means an adult female who reached the age of puberty. So if she passes between you and the sutra, your salah will be nullified. Or the black dog. So these are things mentioned in the hadith that will nullify one's salah. And also donkeys. And our mother Aisha, when she heard this hadith, she objected. And she said, she reacted, "You made us like the donkeys. I used to sleep before in front of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he would pray towards my body. So I am sleeping in front of him and he is praying, and in between him and the Qibla." So that was her argument. So that's why she said, "I will not accept this. You are maybe the narrator misheard the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." And Aisha, radiallahu anha, in many occasions, she objected towards some narrations because she didn't hear. And the ulama, they did not accept her objections, because her argument here is not explicit. She didn't say that I passed in front of the Prophet ﷺ and he didn't repeat the salah. She's saying I was sleeping. So her body was static. It was not in motion. It was not moving. And the hadith says, يَقْطَعْ صَلَاتُ الْمَرْضِ ثَلَاثَ يَقْطَعْ, present continuous tense, فِعَلْ مُضَارَعْ, which means action. So if you are praying in your bedroom and the towards the bed and your wife is sleeping on the bed, the salah is okay. No problem with that. So Aisha, radiallahu anha, her objection was not correct. And the ulama did not accept that. The same thing when she said, "Whoever tells you that the Prophet ﷺ passed urine while standing, he is mistaken." The ulama did not, because I never saw the Prophet ﷺ passing water or urinating standing. So the ulama, they said, yes, she's right. She didn't see. But Hudhayfa, radiallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet ﷺ came, the Sahih Muslim, he came to a dunghill and he passed urine standing. So Hudhayfa has more information, more knowledge. He saw this, and Aisha said, "I didn't see." Yes, you didn't see. But Hudhayfa, radiallahu anhu, he saw the Prophet ﷺ. Or when she denied that the deceased will be punished in his grave because of the wailing and lamentation of his family, he said that was only regarding the Jews. And she didn't accept. And she said, Allah will not punish someone, something he didn't do. And she quoted the ayah. So the ulama said, her objection cannot be accepted because the hadith, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab heard it, and the deceased will be punished not because for something he didn't do, but for things that he could have avoided. If the deceased, he knew his family are going to cry and do all these things, and he didn't warn them, but that's the reason why he is punished. But if he warned them and he wrote in his will, that will not harm him, even if they cry. Okay? So if a child passes in front of you, that will not nullify your salah. I hope this is clear. Next.
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh Abdul, Brother Ali Ibrahim, if you unmute your mic.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallahu khair, our dear Sheikh.
for this beautiful teachings. Alhamdulillah. Allah the Exalted made clear that whoever dealt with shirk, he will never have entered Jannah again. That he will stay forever hellfire. May Allah save us. But now I wanted to know the situation of Murtad.
The same thing. Murtad is kafir. The Murtad is a kafir and he will not enter the Jannah. So all the disbelievers, all the kuffar, they will not enter the Jannah. Because Murtad basically is kafir. He became kafir. And the Jannah, Allah prohibited for the disbelievers. As you know, the hadith in Bukhari, Ibrahim alayhi salam will meet his father Azar on the day of resurrection, day of judgment. And Azar's face will be covered with dust and gloominess. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was tell his father, "Oh my father, I called you before and you didn't accept my call. You didn't respond to my call." And the father will say, "Today I believe in you." So Ibrahim will cry to Allah, call upon Allah, "My Lord, this is my father. And you promised me that you will not disgrace me on the day they are resurrected. What a disgrace more than this, seeing my father." So immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim, "Ya Ibrahim, inni qad harramtu al-jannah ala al-kafirin." "Oh, Ibrahim, I have made Jannah prohibited for the disbelievers." "Walakin unzur madha tahta rijlayk." Now imagine Ibrahim standing in front of his father, Adam. "Walakin unzur madha tahta rijlayk fa'idha huwa bidaykhin mutalattakh fayukhad min qawaimi al-arba'u yulqa finnar." Allah transforms Azar into male hyena, into an animal. And then this animal is thrown to the hellfire. So the kuffar, the disbelievers, they will never enter the Jannah. That's why Abu Talib is in the hellfire, the uncle of the Prophet. So the kuffar, the disbelievers, they are in the hellfire. And Allah sent regarding Abu Talib, "Innaka la tahdi man ahbabt, walakin Allah yahdi man yasha." And he died, as we, as you know, as a non-Muslim. So the apostate, the murtad, is a kafir. But if he made tawbah, if he repented prior to his death, before he dies, then, and we know that he repented, then he's a Muslim, so we make dua for him and perform janazah and all that stuff. But if he died as murtad, he's a kafir. And the kuffar, they will remain in the hellfire forever. I hope this is clear to you and to everyone.
MashaAllah, it's very clear, Sheikh. JazakAllah khair. I will have another question. When someone, when the Islamic judge or court can kill someone when he's not understanding as an important ruling, and maybe they ask him, "Do you understand this?" They make him clear, then he's not going to understand. So is he about to be, there's a scenario that they might kill him. I'm not sure this question, but something like this.
Would you mind paraphrase your question, because I didn't get it?
Yes, okay. This person, maybe he's a Muslim, but...
maybe he's a Muslim and maybe he's not a Muslim.
Okay, he's Muslim, but he's not going to understand some concept of important Muslim, maybe some rulings he's not going to accept. Maybe, so the...
Okay, so a Muslim who is ignorant, he doesn't know. Okay, fine.
So the ulama will come him and tell him, this is this right, this way, this way, this way, but he's not going to listen. So after they warn him, that they will kill him. I wanted to understand if some ruling like this is there.
The answer, yes. Now, if a Muslim decides to leave Islam, this is what we call murtad, an apostate. Take any book of fiqh, and you find a chapter, Bab al-Murtad, chapter on apostasy. And apostasy or ridda, a person will become murtad if he denies anything of Islam, of the teaching of Islam, that are known by necessity to everyone. Everyone knows. Someone insults Allah or curses Allah. This is will make him murtad. Someone insults the Prophet ﷺ. This will make him murtad. Someone denies any of the pillars of Islam. This will make him murtad. Any of the pillars of Iman. This will make him murtad. Anyone insults any of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or any of the books of Allah, this will make him murtad. Now, this person, let's say he was ignorant. Okay. So that's why the ulama, they call him. And they educate him and they teach him that this is not allowed, this is this, this is this. So if he makes tawbah and say, I was ignorant, I am sorry, I ask Allah forgiveness, okay, go, don't do it again. But if he insists, after being educated and all his misconceptions and misunderstandings are cleared, then yes, the punishment is capital punishment. Basically, because he is leaving Islam. He became murtad. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ بَدَّلَ دِينَهُ فَاقْتُلُوهُ مَنْ بَدَّلَ دِينَهُ فَاقْتُلُوهُ Whoever changes his deen, that means he became apostate or she, then kill him. This is ijma, this is unanimously agreed upon. So if you become a murtad, person becomes a murtad, he will be given a chance, scholars committee will be formed, the judges will meet and sit with him or her and find the reason why he wants to leave Islam. Okay? If after all his misconceptions are cleared and all the doubts are removed, then in Islam, we don't give him a chance to start inviting others to follow him. So this is rotten body in the body, organ in the body of the ummah has to be amputated. Otherwise the disease will spread. Just like when there is an organ in the body, okay, and it is incurable. And if it is left, the disease will spread. So the doctor will say, this organ has to be amputated. Is this clear to the questioner?
Yes, it's very clear, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. Okay, we go to the next question, Sheikh.
بارك الله فيك. Yes.
Is there any specific dua that a woman can make in order for her aura not to be exposed, i.e. when the wind blows and the hijab goes up a bit, women tend to be afraid that non-mahram men might see their aura? Jazakallah khair.
No, there is a special dua, but the sisters, they should, wear, roomy clothes. So that's why the abaya is overflowing, and she has a dress beneath, and she has a long trousers. Okay, long trousers, not only immediately under the abaya, her knickers. Okay, so they should be after the abaya, long dress and trousers. Okay, these trousers, they are tight at the ankles. So if the wind blows or something, or she fell or something, nobody can see anything of her body. I hope this is clear to all the sisters. Be careful. Is this clear?
Inshallah, it is clear, Sheikh. And that was our final question of tonight's session. Jazakallah khair. If you'd like to conclude, inshallah.
Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless you, bless your family, protect you, protect your family. May Allah elevate your status in this world and in the hereafter. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen. Till we meet Allah and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah bless us with the beneficent knowledge and righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our ummah in the haq and unite our hearts in the haq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to that which is the most straight. Ameen. Until we meet inshallah in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Hibbullahi wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.